Good morning, people. We are today starting a new series for the Fermobility podcast. Today we are Tatiana Roncolato d'Onco and David Quintero de Cora. We are part of the team of the project Fermobility, the team at the Technologiezentrum Energie and the Hochschule Landshut in Germany. And today we have as our guest Tatsana Axaune. She's senior advocacy at yours, and we are going to start today there. Thank you for being here, Sana.
Thank you so much. I'm so pleased to be speaking with you and Tatiana today.
So, to start, the first question will be, could you please share us more about your journey? What drew you into youth inclusion, sustainable transport, and road safety?
Yes, for sure.
Thank you.
So, my name is Sana, and I'm from Jordan, where we have a story for everything. Even this cup, a cup of coffee that I'm having this morning, there is a story behind that. And I would say that my love for stories drew me to so many things in my life. I started reading novels and exploring spaces, countries that were very far away from me, you know, as a child reading in her room. And this drew me to imagine those spaces, to imagine those countries, the civilizations that were mentioned in those books. And this was actually one of the main reasons why I studied architecture and planning when I went to university. And then I realized that basically we live in stories. You know, everything is a story. History is a story. Even that connection, social connection between people, there is a story in everything. And those stories happen because of connection. And transportation sector is what gives us this connection. So realizing that mobility systems are the oxygen of life, they give life to everything. Without mobility, we cannot, you know, meet friends for brunch on some afternoon during the week. We cannot go to work, and we cannot learn about the places where we were born, where we live, and the places that we visit as well. So this drew me to do my master's in road safety and sustainable mobility, and I believe that that moment really changed my life. I was a young person. I'm still young. I'm forever young. I will always be forever young, if you know that
Of course.
song. And because I believe that young people have so much passion and so much energy to change the world, I truly wanted to work with young people, with young communities, especially that I had the experience working with adults and technical people, older people. And I felt like I was always the person bringing the energy to that room. And that drained me somehow because I always felt that I need to, you know, to fight for my ideas and to do so much work in order to establish my ideas, which came truly spontaneous when I was talking to young people. And this is where I started to grow this interest in working with young people and to also build this intersection between something that I'm deeply passionate about, transportation, sustainable mobility, road safety, and working with youth. And I was lucky to have the chance to be working with yours. I actually started with yours as a volunteer. Yours manages a global network of young people, the Global Youth Coalition for Road Safety. I was one of the first people to join that network as a member. Then I emailed them with some ideas, and then I became a regional leader with them, coordinating events for young people in Asia and in the MENA region. And after that, they gave me a small grant to work on a grassroots project in my city. And after that, I worked with them full time. And ever since, we have been changing the world together and opening spaces for young people around the world. And this is the core part of my mission. A space was opened for me. So I feel responsible to open spaces for other young people as well.
Wow, that sounds very great. So Sana brings energy to the rooms. Sana, how would you describe your mission to someone hearing it for the first time?
Well, yours, Youth for Road Safety, is a leading global non-governmental organization working with and for young people. And our main mission is to transform mobility, to become safer and to become more sustainable. Road traffic crashes, unfortunately, are the number one killer of young people around the world. And basically, we want to work with young people to stop this. Youth are usually seen as victims of the transport systems, and we want to change that. We see youth as power. They bring power to their communities. And basically, they just need entities, governments, NGOs to equip them with skills and to invest in them, give them tools and platforms so that they can influence decision-making systems about road safety and also about sustainable mobility. Yours works through different programs. We have capacity building programs, we have advocacy programs, mobilization campaigns, and we have also a platform, the Coalition Hub, which basically connects young people directly with one another so they can work together, exchange ideas, and also build this coalition that creates youth momentum, youth pressure on global frameworks, on decision makers, to give young people meaningful mechanisms so that they can contribute to shaping their future. So we see youth as drivers of change. We see them as the most valuable asset for their countries. And this is why our mission is for youth and by youth. So you cannot do anything for young people without including young people. And I believe that you is doing so well in this. We are walking the talk, and we are bringing young people to technical transport spaces. And we're the only global NGO that is working directly with young people. So I would say that our mission is all about youth.
It's actually some pretty visionary. It's particularly we're interested to know how this works. How can you amplify the voice of young people, and also if you have some tools or tactics, channels that you consistently use to actually help this amplifying or making that the voice of youth is heard, especially when decisions are being made by politicians or
Well,
other actors.
yes. Well, as someone working within the advocacy team at yours, I would say that our approach is basically a mix between coaching and between giving them access to decision-making spaces. So to grow these capacities, to understand the decision-making processes in the cities, like what does it mean to push for a policy change? What? How can we know what policy to start with in our city? How can I speak to a decision-maker? How do I prepare an elevator? How do I mobilize youth in my community to push for policy change at the local level? So we try to tap into the reality of decision-making spaces, and we try to break that down in a friendly way. So we say that our coaching methodology is basically youth-friendly, brain-friendly, and we try to include the lived experiences of young people in their advocacy. So this is why we try to include young people from diverse backgrounds to ensure, you know, adequate representation of different genders, of people from different socioeconomic backgrounds, and people also from different fields of study. And we try to actively create and negotiate spaces with decision makers so that young people have a seat at the decision making table. And basically, what we call for is combating tokenization of youth, because we believe that youth representation should not be symbolic, and young people should be involved beyond just consulting them, beyond just inviting them to informal meetings. And this is why we try to work closely with governments as well. So we don't only coach young people, we also coach decision makers and policymakers on how to include young people, because usually there are a lot of misunderstandings about youth inclusion. And this is the main thing that we try to do. And we have actually published the Policymakers Toolkit. It's basically a guideline for decision makers, people working with ministries, or even people working with the civil society. There is like a scoring card methodology. So everyone working with young people can evaluate if their approach is meaningful or not. And based on the toolkit, we have a set of recommendations that work in different contexts in low middle income countries, across also different levels of participation at the national level or at the city level, And from those recommendations, there are a lot of learnings that they can embed in their work and through their strategies to make the spaces more friendly and more meaningful for young people. But you asked me about a tactic that I think consistently works. Actually, I'm very passionate about storytelling, and I'm very passionate about bringing lived experiences to policy and to advocacy spaces. And this is part of our approach in humanizing transportation and humanizing mobility with evidence. So when a young person shares their daily mobility struggles and pairs it with data, it resonates more with decision makers, and it becomes stronger than just only sharing statistics or sharing a policy brief. So although we equip young people with skills so that they can work on those policy papers and build their evidence, but also we always tell them, it's about you and people like you. So tell it the way it is, you know, make it interesting, because decision makers are also humans and things resonate more with them when they are linked to a story. So yeah, I would say that storytelling and humanizing mobility is a tactic that definitely works so well in our work.
We put this guideline for decision makers in our show notes. And the next question is, so yeah, during our preparation of the podcast, you have told us that yours is thinking mobility, safety, and mental health together. So please tell us more about it.
Actually, whenever I talk to people in transportation and I tell them, what is transport all about? You know, like, explain it to me the way you would explain it to a 5 years old. And most of the things were like vehicles, roads, you know, numbers, capacities, traffic lanes, something like that. But when you talk to young people, you realize that it's about emotion, it's about dignity, and it's very related to mental health. Think about this. Maybe you, before you leave your home every day, you need to plan your journey, right? You need to think of, okay, which bus station I need to walk to, right? How much is this bus gonna cost me? Maybe it's something you don't think about, but believe me, a lot of people around the world, this is a daily struggle. It's basically a calculation that they have to do a couple of times a day, every single day. So the daily commute is becoming stressful. It's becoming even humiliating sometimes, and especially in environments where it's also unsafe. So for example, think of a young woman that wants to go back home at night, at after 8 p.m. or something, if she wants to take the metro or if she wants to take a taxi. For her, it's a mental stress to think about, am I going to be safe? You know, is the driver going to harass me? You know, if I need help, how can I ask for help? So basically, mobility affects how people show up at their work, how they show up at schools, how they show up at university, how they even their relationship to their families, even to their communities, especially for young women. Actually, there is a lot of fear of violence or harassment in public transport, and this can lead to constant anxiety. And there are a lot of research studies out there in many academic journals that give you the academic proof, but I have my proof talking to women and talking to young people. So unfortunately, the transport system is giving us long, unreliable commutes. This adds to our daily stress and takes the time that we can actually use to study, to read, to be with our families and build authentic human connection. So connecting this with mental health is something that is alarming a little bit on from the health perspective, that transport is not only responsible for, the emissions. It's not only responsible for unsafe systems, but also there is a mental health crisis that no one is speaking up about. And we need to address this frustration. We need to address this constant fear that is wearing people down. And let's think about it in the other way. If mobility was actually safe, if it was inclusive, if it was reliable, it will give people peace of mind. It will give them confidence, it will give them freedom to go wherever they want to go. So mobility is a tool for access, but it's also a foundation for well-being. If we want to have healthier societies, we need to recognize that safe mobility is an investment in mental health.
This was Sana the young voice of yours. Thank you very much for your perspectives. If you are interested in mobility and gender, please check our next episode. Stay tuned.